Welcome to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience at your service. This Saturday morning, it's January the 14th, 2017, and thrilled to be with you and happy to help you in any way that we are able. The way that you request information or interaction is simple. You can go online, morethanmoneyonline.com, and listen live and ask questions live. You can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can call 610-720-7900, which is exactly what Francis has done. Francis, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. My question is, we're interested in opening a 529 plan for two grandchildren under 6 years of age.
Okay.
What can you tell me are the, I read all this stuff and it just goes on and on, but comparing the Pennsylvania plan and a plan from a brokerage firm, basically the only difference I can see is the brokerage firm offers you different mutual funds, where the Pennsylvania plan, it's only Vanguard.
You know what? That's a very
good question.
No. I think what you've said is a very clear, and it's the primary difference between those two types of plans. I think you've looked at it correctly. The only addition I might add is that if you're working with a financial advisor that you know, like, and trust, they might, in addition to being able to offer you different investment options, they might be able to guide you a bit better in terms of what you select as investments. If you don't have a financial advisor you're working with, or you don't have one that you trust, and you're kind of doing it on your own, then I think the way you've looked at this is exactly correct. There's no tax advantage to go one or the other. There's no differences in the rules to go one or the other. So yes, it really comes down to, if you're looking at the Pennsylvania plan and you like Vanguard, maybe your decision's already been made for you. If you're looking at an outside plan and say Vanguard's okay, but I would prefer something a little different that I can get through a financial advisor, then that makes perfectly good sense as well. It's kind of two different options, both of which are quite good.
Well, the Pennsylvania plan, you can deduct some of the money from your state taxes.
And you can do that with
your state income.
That's correct. But don't be misled. It's not just the Pennsylvania plan that you can do that. You can do that with any eligible 529 plan.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, very good.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, where can I go on the web, which I'm learning to use, to pick out the quality of the mutual funds?
Oh, very good. There are a fair number of sites out there that I think you'll find very, very useful. The one that most folks tell me they use is called Morningstar.
Okay.
So if you Google Morningstar, they have various levels of service and information that you can take a peek at. Very good place to start. But if you Google mutual funds or mutual fund information, you're going to find that there are, dozens that you can kind of noodle around on, test them out a little bit, see which one you feel most comfortable with, and then pick one that fits you best.
I had called a while ago and asked you about how you check out a broker, and you said broker check.
Yeah.
That didn't work for me. I put the name in, and then it would say the firm and the location, and then they'd come up and say there wasn't anybody there.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
There's two possible reasons that it didn't work for you.
Uh-huh.
The first, sadly, is that the person you're looking for is not a licensed financial advisor. So if somebody is saying, hey, I'm a financial advisor.
Yeah, but if they're at Merrill Lynch. I
mean, oh, absolutely. Then the second option is that either the name is misspelled or you haven't filled in the correct location.
Does that mean the office that they work at?
Yes.
Or where the or New York or Merrill Lynch is located?
No, the office where they work.
Well, I'll try it again, but it wasn't working.
And if you have struggles, don't hesitate. We'll give you the contact information before the end of the show. Reach out to our office, and one of our advisors can walk you through it right over the phone.
Oh,
or
okay.
You can give them the information. They can look it up for you and tell you right over the phone.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for the call.
Sure. Bye.
Bye. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. I've had the same problem that Francis has had. I've gone on Broker Check looking for an individual. I tried different, and she's absolutely right. She is very accurate. When you go on Broker Check, it asks you for the name of the individual or the name of the company and the location. And generally what you'll do is you'll fill in a zip code. And then they'll search within a certain radius of that zip code. So, for example, our office zip code 18020. If you filled in Gene Dickison 18020 on Broker Check, you learn everything there is to know about Gene that they have on record in terms of licenses and background and experience. I want you to brace yourself. It doesn't say that I've got 780 years of experience. Those records were lost in the big flood. but Broker Check can be a little, and for example, I'm Gene, and some folks search for Eugene, they don't find it, or they search for Gene Dickinson, yep, they don't find it, it's Gene Dickinson. So spelling is important, but it can be frustrating. But again, if you're researching an advisor and would like some assistance, we'll give you contact information before the end of the show. Reach out to us, and we'll help you in any way that we are able. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Young AD writes, my daughter and son-in-law were in to visit over the holidays. They spent 6 days with us. As it always is, it was wonderful to spend time with my daughter. The problem was our son-in-law. Wow. Never heard this story before. sadly, he was very disrespectful to my husband. Whatever conversation was about, he made a point to disagree with him. When my husband left the room, he continued to make comments that were very unkind. I took my daughter aside and spoke to her about this, and she said that her husband was going through a stressful time at work, might even lose his job. She said that they had even considered putting off starting a family because of this anxiety over his income. Her father and I want to help. What would you suggest? You give me far too much credit for being able to help. As the father of three daughters, I read that and I said, I get it. God bless her. All mom wants to do is make it better. That's what moms do. And apparently dad was kind of feeling the same thing, because I don't read in there anywhere where he told the son-in-law to jam it, which would kind of be my instinct, and then I'd regret it later. So husband, dad would kind of have his fill and just leave. You want to help, and I absolutely get it. What would I suggest? I would suggest a couple of things. Number one, I wouldn't make too much of it. You don't indicate here that this is kind of an everyday thing, or this has happened before, or that this guy's just a bum. So I wouldn't make too much of it. And I certainly wouldn't take any steps beyond what you've done, which is you've let your daughter know this is unacceptable. And I'm certain, I'm certain she has spoken to her husband, because wives have a tendency to do that. If she hasn't, that's a shame. And that indicates a far deeper problem that has nothing to do with you, and that you have no literally no influence over whatsoever. So what can you do? Be there. Just be there for your daughter. Take the opportunity. Make the effort to reach out to her a little more often. If you usually talk to her once or twice a week, maybe still talk to her once or twice a week, but shoot her a text, an email. Just, hey, just thinking about you. Hope everything's good. Just let her know that you're there. In a lot of cases, that's worth its weight in gold. I'm going to suggest something as well that I hope you take it in the spirit in which it's intended. I don't know anything more about your daughter and son-in-law's marriage than what you've told me. And it's quite possible neither do you. But a young man who's disrespectful to his father-in-law, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. It's not a good sign of character. And I get stress. Ooh, I get it. Anxiety, I get it. Lots of ways to handle that. Lots of ways to express that. Lots of ways for that to come out. Yeah, being disrespectful to your father-in-law. It's so far down the food chain of acceptable that it doesn't appear. So right this second, you're trying to figure out how to help. I'm trying to figure out how not to punch your son-in-law really hard between the eyes. I don't mean physically. I mean verbally. Because he's made a huge error. And if it's a huge one-time error, been there, done that, made mistakes that you just go, how was I that stupid? If it's a one-off, God bless them. You already know whether it is or it isn't. I would be very, very thoughtful about how you do your estate planning. I don't know if you have other children. I don't know if your daughter's the only recipient of your estate. But what I would be fearful of is that you and your husband are called home, graduate to the next dimension, enter through the pearly gates. Everything goes to your daughter, and then what you likely fear, which is that this marriage doesn't last, and this disrespectful young man walks out with a lot of your money. Please, if you haven't already done it, sit with an experienced estate planning attorney. Sit with an attorney who absolutely has kind of gone down this road before. Should you still have your daughter as the recipient of your estate? Of course. But can it be done in such a way that she's protected? Yeah. Of course. Experienced estate planning attorneys, sadly, they can be expensive. And in circumstances, especially like this, where the situation has already kind of indicated an issue, they can be worth their weight in gold. So please, if you have these concerns, and clearly you do, sit with an experienced estate planning attorney. If you wish to start with a financial advisor, that's perfectly acceptable as well. All you have to do is ask, and we'd be happy to help. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com lets you join us as well. We had a question last week about spousal Social Security. The gentleman's going to be commencing his Social Security next month at age 67. His wife started already when she was 62. Her spousal benefit would be higher than her current benefit, and his question was, some folks have suggested, even some at Social Security, that she's kind of stuck where she is. We have found no research that would support that answer. All the research that we found this week indicates that she will indeed receive an increased benefit based on the spousal benefit. I would encourage this gentleman, his wife, everybody else out there that has the ability to head out on the internet, which is almost everybody. If you've got a question like this, go to ssa.gov, Social Security Administration, but ssa.gov. Make sure that your information is correct. Go through all the records that they have for you. You're going to create your own account. And then they have tools that will allow you to pose certain questions and even apply online for benefits. So I would strongly encourage this gentleman, bypass the phone calls and the questions at the moment. Go on ssa.gov, establish your accounts for you and your wife. Do some testing, some probing to see if you're getting the answers that you want. And if you do, fantastic. And if you don't, give us a call. 610-720-7900. Let's go to the phones. We talk to Joan. Joan, good morning. Joan?
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
I was hearing had the radio on at the same time.
Okay.
I have a gentleman who, I didn't start any probe until they told me with the company that, the annuity company that I'm with, that they would keep me on for, till I was 95. But all of my annuity was finished with them as of my 85th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little over $100,000, and this gentleman suggested that I withdraw it, put it into an account, keep about $10,000, and then invest $90,000 into a mutual account.
Did he explain to you what he believed to be the advantage of doing that?
He said that the company that is going to keep me on the present company was going to charging me almost 3% in fees, and that his company
mm-hmm.
would be charging me about 1% in fees.
Okay. And that may be true. It may not be true. Does this annuity cover just you?
Yes, because my husband, this is where my husband decided I should go when he died about 19 years ago.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Well, it is possible that the annuity fees are 3%. It's possible that they're less. I would suspect that they're less. I would want to look carefully at that as my first point of examination. Secondly, you've currently got about $100,000 in the annuity. Do you know what the original investment was?
I believe it was about $75,000.
Okay, so it appears at least that we have about $25,000 of profit.
Mm-hmm.
Did he talk to you at all about the income tax you would have to pay on the profit?
Mentioned of the fact, and that's one of the things when he called back, I asked him, well, what am I going to have to pay if I did turn it in?
Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
He said because of the income that I'm on, I make about $1,200 a month from Social Security,
mm-hmm.
and that's my only income.
Ah, very good. So he's suggesting that the income tax would either be very low or zero.
Yes.
Okay. I would want to confirm that specifically. In our firm, for example, we have an income tax department headed up by my wife and several other very talented folks, and they would be able to tell you to the penny what the tax would be, not just to suggest that it would be less. The other thing that would cause me concern, that would cause me to hesitate if I were you, or if you were asking me as my own mom, I would hesitate, is that annuities often have guarantees where mutual funds do not. And before I would allow you to end this annuity, I would want to look very carefully at what, if any, guarantees they provide. And then compare that to the mutual funds that this gentleman is suggesting. I am not saying that what he's suggesting is incorrect. I'm just saying that you and I don't have enough information yet to be able to make that decision confidently. I would strongly encourage you to have a second opinion where the advisor would look at the annuity you currently have, would look at the recommended mutual funds that this gentleman is suggesting, and give you a third, kind of an objective evaluation, a third party evaluation of whether this fits well for you or not.
Where would I get such an opinion?
Oh, very good. We at our More Than Money Advisors are happy to provide that for our listeners. We do that at absolutely no charge, so there's no cost involved. If after our evaluation it turns out that what this gentleman is recommending is correct, you have you'll have tremendous confidence that going forward you're doing the right thing. If it turns out that what this gentleman is recommending, in our opinion, is incorrect, then you have some pretty serious reason to hesitate. But we're happy to offer that to you. We're happy to provide that service to you. There's absolutely no charge for that.
And how do I go about getting that third opinion?
I'll tell you what I will do. I'm going to have you hang up here momentarily. If you've got a pad and pencil, in the next minute or so, I'm going to give you some contact information of how you reach our company. We're happy to do that for you, Joan.
Oh, you're going hang up, Mike?
Yeah, you're going to hang up, and you can listen to the show, and I'm going to tell you how to contact our office.
Okay.
Thank you so much. God bless. For Joan and for everyone listening, we just have a couple minutes before we go to our half-hour break. Did I say a couple minutes? Is that correct, sir? Yeah, good deal. So for Joan and anyone that wishes a second opinion meetings are your opportunity to ask any financial question. In Joan's case, she wants to know whether this recommendation to leave her annuity company, who's perfectly willing to keep her for another 10 years, that has turned a profit, a nice profit, that is tax deferred, and may have some other benefits, whether leaving that annuity would be in her best interest, or whether it would be only in the best interest of the advisor who's recommending that she send that over to him and let him invest it at one and earn 1% a year. Or it might be an income tax question or an estate planning question, an investment question. All you need to do is ask. If you are comfortable with email, you send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. If you prefer calling direct, you can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave a message, and one of our team will get back to you. Or you can call Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5, and someone from our team will answer you directly. That phone number is 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. And Joan, we'd be happy to provide that service to you. Absolutely no charge. Happy to be of service. We'd love to be of service to you as well. We have a half an hour left in this edition of More Than Money, which means all you have to do is call and ask. Gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com, 610-720-7900. Let us know how we may serve you. We'll be back after this on More Than Money. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've come exactly to the right place. If you'd like to join us, all you need to do is ask. 610-720-7900. You may send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. I've gotten several emails, very interesting comments on private pensions. Very interesting. Thank you. And you can log on everywhere from a smartphone to a workstation, wherever you have internet, morethanmoneyonline.com. My new friend Ott swears he was going to listen. Actually, he didn't swear. He's very polite. He didn't swear. He just said, hey, iHeartRadio, I'm on the iHeartRadio. Does a lot of work on Saturdays. He says something about Monday through Friday, all his coworkers are too noisy. Yeah, like that. That's actually pretty. Why do you go on this side? Because I can get some real work done. If you would like to join us, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. I believe, young lady, I'm not really sure. This is very interesting, though, because this email kind of ties to Joan's question about her annuity. I believe a young lady writes, I invested in an annuity in early 2008, just before things really got bad. And that's true. Early in 2008, the market was down a little. It ended up dropping 54%. Ugh. My advisor explained back then that I would get a lifetime of guaranteed income. That's exactly what I wanted. I invested about $98,000. And since that time, it has only grown to $119,000. But my guaranteed income is now $8,800 a year. I recently met an advisor through, and she goes through the free dinner scenario. He claims to be a retirement income expert. He says the investment returns of my annuity have been very bad, and it's time to, quote unquote, cut my losses. All right, let's stop there for just a second. She went from 98 to 119. Yeah, $21,000 profit. He went, times aught minus the, yeah, pi r squared, which is stupid, pi r round. Please cut my losses. Okay, I'll circle back to that, I'm sure. He's recommending I move my investments to a different annuity with his company. What a shock. I'm not sure I understand why this is a good idea. Please explain. Well, join the group. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure why it's a good idea either. I've been 780 years, so I've been around a long time. I have seen these types of annuities. I have a fair number of clients. We have a fair number of clients at More Than Money that have held annuities of this type. These are variable annuities with a guaranteed income rider. And depending on the formula, the guaranteed income rider can provide some pretty impressive income on a growing basis, meaning it gets larger and larger as the longer you hold the contract. And even while the investments do whatever the investments do, the variable annuity contracts, you generally get to pick, select from a menu of investment options, some of which end up doing very well, some of which end up stinking up the place, and everywhere in the middle, kind of like any other. If you go to the smorgasbord, there's some great filet, some great lobster. The mac and cheese ain't that great. Okay. It's the way it is. Has the investment return been fantastic? Well, considering that this young lady's $98,000, depending on how it was invested, might easily have dropped $20,000 in 2008, might easily have gone down to $78,000. That would only be a 21-22% decline. The market was down 54. So could it have dropped to $78,000? Sure. So now, if you look at it in that respect, not only has it rebounded back all the way back to where it was, but it's got a $21,000 profit. And if you look at, if you use my numbers, it went down to $78,000. A relatively modest decline, less than half of what the market went down. It's actually gone back, it's come back $41,000. It's had a tremendous upward run. So not only have the investments not been stinky, perhaps, they certainly are not losses. So we're not cutting our losses. And is this a good idea? Well, by my rough calculations, if you're getting an $8,800 a year guaranteed lifetime income. I'm guessing that this is a 5% number based on an income base, calculated using an income base, that would be about $175,000. So that whatever contract this individual is offering you, it would have to not just give you, say, 4 or 5% return on $119,000. It would have to replace your $8,800 a year lifetime guarantee. Or it's you're not sure why it's a good idea. I would be sure it would not be a good idea if it is a typical current annuity contract that replicates what you already have. Is it possible that you could get that income and more? I don't expect so. Why is this a good idea? I absolutely understand why it's a good idea for the salesman. Absolutely a good idea. You drive into an automobile dealership and you're driving an 8-year-old car that has 31,000 miles on it and gets 19 miles to the gallon. 8 years old, has 31,000 miles on it, runs like a top. But a salesman's going to suggest to you, I don't know, 19 miles to the gallon. You know, the new ones, they get 28, 29. You'd be so much better off. Well, no, you wouldn't. Certainly not financially. Your car is paid for. It's got next to no miles on it. You're averaging what? 3,000 miles a year, 4,000 miles a year. It's in perfect shape. You keep it well maintained. The cost of a new car would eat up any savings you would have on your you'd have to have your new car in order to break even. You have to have it 270 years. And as I think about it, that's not likely. I'm trying to be, you know, fair. It's not likely you're going to keep a new car 270 years. I'm just thinking. I don't know a lot about cars. I know a lot about people. Methuselah. Ain't happening. This situation cries out for the exact same resolution that I offered to Joan. You must get a second opinion. You must get a second opinion. Please, Lord Jesus, get a second opinion. Because I will be shocked and surprised to find that you will. Well, you know what? Let me do this because I have a calculator right here on my smartphone. Actually, the smartphone scares me because I'm fairly certain it's smarter than I am. Fundamentally, I bet it is. If you wanted to replace $8,800 of annual income based on $119,000. You would need to get a 7.4% guaranteed rate of return for the rest of her life. Let me think about the opportunity. That's roughly equivalent of you're going to keep your new car for 230 years. So that's not going to happen. So make sure you get a second opinion. Please, 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 please. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Oh, it's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites. I'm so glad that I pulled this out. This came in last week. I meant to do it last week. I got busy. A young lady writes, I'm 74. I've been widowed for nearly 6 years. I live independently, and I want to stay that way. Okay. You go, mama. I know that you're a supporter of the Second Amendment. Yup. And I'm thinking I should buy a gun. Ooh. Oh, man. She goes on to say, lots of explanation, protection, but I want to learn to use it properly. And I don't even know what kind of gun I should buy. Can you guide me? Now I'm a firearms expert. This is great. to be fair, I am not a firearms expert. Fortunately, to answer this young lady's question, I don't think I have to be. There are a fair number, a handful perhaps, all within driving distance of the Lehigh Valley.
and the nature of the question.
Wonderful organizations, facilities that will train you on the proper, safe ownership and use of a handgun. There are some wonderful, just Google firing ranges or firearm instruction. excuse me, Google that. If you need, my wife and I have, and my daughters have used a particular firing range. There are a couple folks from the WAEB audience that have used a different one that they think is fantastic. We can give you some recommendations. You don't even know what kind of gun you should buy. Good. Don't buy a gun until you're trained. Most firing ranges will permit you for a very small fee, very reasonable number of dollars, to go in and fire 4, 5, 6, 7 different kinds of guns. And you may find out that, you know, something, a gun maybe you've heard of that you thought, hey, that'd be cool. Not cool. Doesn't fit. Doesn't feel right. Doesn't kind of do what you want it to do. And another gun that you've never heard of, you go, whew, it feels like I was made to shoot this gun. My wife and daughter recently went to the range together, my daughter's first time firing a handgun. They did wonderful. They brought home the target. I was like, okay, now I got to be polite to these girls. Take me right out with boom, just target. Fantastic. I think what you're interested in, you're 74, you're not 104. You're a young woman. You've got decades and decades to be on this earth. You want to be independent. You should be safe. And when I say safe, I don't just mean armed. I mean safely armed. What you're asking for is brilliant. What you're asking for makes all the sense in the world. Do not worry about not having a gun. Make an initial appointment at a firing range that you have investigated and feel comfortable with. Get a good instructor. Take the time and a few dollars to get comfortable with the operations. Get trained up, select a gun, and then go back for lessons and make sure that you're totally comfortable with, you understand exactly how you can safely operate your weapon. God bless you. I think that's fantastic. It's one of my favorite emails in a long, long time. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Ed. Ed, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Gene. How are you?
Very well. How may we serve you?
Two probably easy questions. This regards, it's not mine, but it's for someone I know.
Sure.
Low income or no income filing of income tax.
Mm-hmm.
This particular person has 6 children and no income.
Okay.
I'm under the impression that she should still file because she will get money back because she has the 6 children.
That's my understanding. That's exactly right. You are exactly right.
And the next question is that she should, if at all possible, try to see her friend, put $2,000 into an IRA, and the government will refund that money to her also.
That's a question I cannot answer. I'm not familiar with that part of the IRS code that would allow someone who has no income to contribute to an IRA. Doesn't mean it's not the case. Our tax side, our tax division over at More Than Money, they absolutely would be able to answer that question for you. I'll do, let me just make the note, $2,000 IRA. I will ask this week. We'll find out, and I'll be able to report that back. In just 8 or 9 minutes, I'll be announcing the contact information from our office. And, Ed, if you want to call on Monday, talk to any of the tax advisors. They'd be happy to help. There's absolutely no charge for that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. You take care.
You have a good year. Bye-bye.
God bless. God bless. 610-720-7900. Whew, there's a challenge. 6 children, no income. Oof. God bless. We'll find out. I am not familiar with a program that allows a no income person. I've always been trained that in order to have an IRA contribution, you've got to have income. You've got to have earned income. Is it possible that someone who has no income whatsoever can contribute to an IRA? It's the IRS code is 27,000 pages plus. I have heard as many as 70,000 pages with all the interpretations. So is there something in there that I don't know? I guarantee you there's tons of stuff in there that I don't know. For example, I will tell you something I don't know. I recently was told, and I still don't know. I have been doing IRAs since they were invented. They came out, I think, in 74. And you want to talk about the power of compounding? Big smile on my face. Even a few bucks from 1974. Nice. The idea is you can invest in certain things. You have to do it in a certain way. You have to follow the rules. I have understood the rules all these years to believe that could you invest in gold, certain gold coins? Yes, absolutely. Could you put those in your pocket and walk around with them? No. No, I have been trained from day one. IRA assets are held by an IRA custodian. If you want to invest in the stock market, mutual funds, ETFs, you have an IRA custodian that holds all those funds for you. You might be self-directed. You might be telling them when to buy, when to sell, but you don't own them directly. You have an IRA custodian that's reporting to the federal government, meeting the federal government requirements that they report on an annual basis. Could you buy gold coins? Yes. If they were held by a custodian. Recently, I have been told that there are companies selling not just the gold coins, but IRA gold coins and a safe that they will send to you so they can send you your coins and you can hang on to them. I can't find anything. I have not yet found any research that would support that position. And yet, these are national firms advertising on national radio and TV to say, we'll send you the gold coins for your IRA. This, in my mind, so far comes under the heading of too good to be true. And even if it is true that you can do that, who's going to do the reporting? That's an interesting question as well. And when you turn 70, how are you going to pay your required minimum distribution with your gold coins? These are interesting questions to which I have no answers. If anybody out there has done the research and has some insight, happy to listen to it. Okay, very good. 5 or 6 minutes left. Five, thank you, sir. Young lady writes, my husband and I are both in our late 50s. We have plans to work another 5 to 7 years. While I'm very happy with the election results, I'm fearful about the economy and the stock market. I recently moved half of my 401k into a money market account. My husband says I should be optimistic and move that money back into stocks. Who's right? You're the wife. Of course you're right. If you've listened to our show for any length of time at all, when a husband and wife disagree, the wife... Sure.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Yes, that's not a bad piece of advice right there. Of course you're right. No one's going to know who's right until after the fact. It's a very interesting discussion to have between a husband and a wife because neither of you are basing your investment decision on facts. You're basing them on emotions. That's really hard. It's what most people do. They have an emotional opinion, emotional reaction, and then they try to justify it with quote-unquote facts. I can give you a dozen reasons that you should believe that a Donald Trump presidency will be good for the economy and good for the stock market. And every one of those reasons I give you are absolutely logical, fact-based, and I can support each and every one of them. And so what? That and a buck will get you a buck. That's all I get you. as Yogi Berra was famous for saying, predicting is very hard, particularly about the future. It is absolutely true that the stated objectives of a Trump presidency should be, we expect will be, very supportive of growth in the economy and indirectly thereby growth in the stock market. And the ability for us to translate that into some form of guarantee is zero. Zero. You can't make your investment decisions based on your emotional reaction to the events of the day. They've got to be based on your what fits you, fits your goals, fits your risk tolerance. If you're losing sleep and moving half your money to a money market allows you to sleep like a baby, probably a good idea. Will it reduce your ability to have more dollars at retirement? Maybe. There's no way to know. So what I would strongly suggest for the two of you is to sit maybe with somebody wearing a striped shirt, a referee of some kind. Sometimes those are called financial advisors sometimes. And get much, much clearer about your current financial circumstance, your future goals for retirement 5 to 7 years down the road, and what strategy, what approach to investing will get you there. You might find out that the reason you screwed up is that you only put half of your money in the money market. Maybe it should all be in the money market. I guess we'll find out. Thanks so much for sending that question over. Folks, if you heard anything on the show today that you found interesting, or if you just had the idea, you know, what's really interesting is nothing I heard so much as the idea that I can get a second opinion review of my financial picture, whether it's an investment question, income tax question, estate planning question. How about all of the above question? Can you just look at everything we're doing and say if we're on the right track? The answer is sure. We're happy to do that. We do that at absolutely no charge. All you have to do is request it. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Check out our website and all the archives of all our radio shows at morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can always call 610-746-7007. Again, 610-746-7007. Thanks for being part of this show. We'll see you next time on More Than Money. You know I'm